From Baffin Bay to Palo Duro Canyon and Mount Locke to Davy Crockett National Forest, when government works against your liberty, Pratt on Texas will sound the alarm. Now, here's your host, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio on the high ground of Texas, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a corporate management muzzle or leash. Our Lone Star story of the day, Sherry Sylvester gets it right. Texas media leads the nation in one-siderism news coverage. And let me tell you, much of it is what you don't see covered. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by our friends at Allied Compliance Services. Are you hiring? Check for safety with drug and alcohol testing managed by Allied Compliance Services. Learn more at alliedcompliance.com. The U.S. Supreme Court sets a hearing, I think on November 1st, on the Texas fetal heartbeat bill. But beware how much of the press characterizes this. It's not what the headlines make you believe. More on real leadership in Florida for people's basic human rights while Texas officials dither. Paxton and Missouri's AG sue the Biden administration over a refusal to build border wall Congress has funded, and much more Texas news in the stack. Remember, all new members of my listener club at PrattOnTexas.com during October will be in a drawing to win an author-signed copy of Cowboyhood, the newest book in the multiple award-winning Wilder Good series from our good friend Nathan Dahlstrom. Just join up at PrattOnTexas.com. I don't send you info to anybody else. It stays with me. Remember, you can listen anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Get the podcast of the show at PrattOnTexas.com. And my friends, don't forget also at PrattOnTexas.com the set of recommendations for the constitutional amendment election from yours truly is there for you to peruse and share with others. It is, as always, my friends, a great day to be a Texan. We'll begin our news roundup as we do on Fridays with the Baker Hughes Rotary rig count out that tells us how many rigs are drilling for oil or gas. The U.S. rig count, after many weeks of growth, dropped by one, and so did the great state of Texas. The number of rigs dropped by one to 249. We were at 125 this time a year ago. Interestingly, the Permian had a net gain of one rig this week in the rotary rig count. So the national and Texas count net down is by one rig. Wyoming lost three this week in the report out from Baker Hughes. In the political stack, Texas National Movement leader announces campaign for lieutenant governor. This reported by the Texas Scorecard that to challenge, you know, the Democrats have some folks going to try to get their nomination and challenge Lieutenant Governor Patrick. On the Republican side, Tracy Bradford, former president of the Texas Eagle Forum, has already announced that she would run, and Daniel Miller, president of the Texas Nationalist Movement, wants to, or is announcing on a live stream thing that he is running for the Republican nomination for Lieutenant Governor. Arlington's, remember the shooting at Mansfield ISD in the high school, and the family came out and said that this young man went and he shot people because he'd been bullied over and over and been stolen from. Interestingly, WFAA reporting today that Arlington's police chief briefed people at a big meeting about the investigation of that situation and said they found no evidence the suspect was bullied. Quote, "We can't and we won't say that there was any evidence of bullying that day or any other day. I also want to say with certainty that Mr. Simpkins is involved in high-risk activity, and that high-risk activity led to the disagreement within the community." So the sob story from the family may have just been that, a concocted sob story, but we don't really know. Midland's triple murder suspect's been arrested. Kevin Alexis Martinez has been taken into custody in Hereford and is in the Deaf Smith County Jail at present. A Lubbock doctor who had his car break down near Merkel and then was struck by a train. Now, you read the headlines, you think the guy was on the tracks. No, the car was off. Somehow he walked up to the train tracks, and the report at KRBC says that Dr. Cy Danishfar of Lubbock was struck by that train, said his vehicle broken down. That's why he was at the location, but we don't know why he walked up to the train tracks. And witnesses, police say witnesses indicated the suspect or the subject appeared to make no effort to move out of the path of the oncoming train. What a sad story there, reported by KRBC. An Odessa woman's been sentenced to 30 years for murder of her stepfather. Rick Britton, 54, was shot and killed on Christmas Day. 26-year-old Jaylene Ann Green has been found guilty of murder and has now been sentenced to 30 years in prison. That from KOSA. KOSA also telling us that the University of Texas Permian Basin STEM Academy staff member who had been accused of sexual assault has been cleared of any wrongdoing, and they'd been placed in leave during the investigation, is now going to be reinstated. Texas Tech professor has been named distinguished member of the Society of Petroleum Engineers. That's right, Texas Tech's Marshall Watson, an associate professor, department chair, and Roy Butler chair of the Bob L. Hurd Department of Petroleum Engineering in the Ed Whitaker College of Engineering, recently was named a distinguished member by the Society of Petroleum Engineers at their annual technical conference in Dubai. Congratulations to him and the great work they do there. Also, my friends out of College Station, KBTX tells us that Kanasha Thompson, 28, told police she asked for a refund at the Dairy Queen after getting a watery blizzard. She called it watery. She said the workers began laughing at her, making fun of her, and the words were exchanging. And they were, anyway, she apparently pulled around her car, went up front, and tried to take, they were going to take pictures of her license plates because there was words exchanged. And when they opened the door, she drove her car up to the entrance door and struck two workers. She's been, they had leg injuries. She's been arrested. And so watch out for the watery blizzard. Bryan police officer arrested for driving while intoxicated during a funeral procession. KBTX said, terrible. Kristen Johnson, 36, police officer there, had trouble understanding the route, slurred her words throughout the morning, was unsteady on her feet, nearly hit another patrol vehicle. After returning to the station, another officer confronted her about her unusual behavior. Maybe you should have done that early on, because she could have hit and killed somebody. But she claimed her medication makes her loopy. Well, you're still under the same prohibition against driving if that's the case. But she failed a field sobriety test and all that, and they checked it, and she had very high blood alcohol content. Not the way to go work an off-duty gig in a funeral procession by maybe creating more funeral processions. Terrible. All right, my friends, let me get to that. Today in Texas history, October 22nd, 1836, it's a big day. This is the day in 1836 the ad interim government ended with the inauguration of Sam Houston as president of the Republic of Texas. He was later elected as the third president in 1841 after Lamar's term. It's also the day in 1969, in case you think this stuff's true, that the students at University of Texas at Austin rioted at Waller Creek. That's right. They had a demonstration turned really into a riot, and it was all they wanted to protect, you know, ecology, the same old stuff. And the UT was going to bulldoze some feats of it and all this to expand Memorial Stadium, and students lost out and all that. But another just example of how this stuff isn't new with all the leftists out there. My friends, one other quick thing. There's a bunch of news items out there. You'll see over the weekend. Texas regulators, power plant operators must make best efforts to fix issues that led to grid failures. What it is, it's a big scare piece saying, oh, the PUC, they're not really doing anything. All it is a bunch of people saying, you know, believing that idea that if you pass a law, everything will just magically be fixed. If you adopt a tough rule, they'll be fixed. Look. They're fixing stuff. It's in their interest to. They lost tons of money in this. They don't want it to happen again. And they're just trying to get as much done as early as they can do before all the other rules come on the line. Don't buy the scare story from the Texas press. The real problem is non-dispatchable power on the grid. We'll be back in a moment, my friends, on Pratt on Texas.
Keep that six-shooter at your side. Pratt on Texas will be right back after this.
Pratt on Texas Listener Club member Tom from Wichita Falls wrote, I just returned from Costa Rica. I went there on your suggestion and cannot agree with you more. This was the best dental experience ever. I had a good bit of work done, and Dr. Zuniga was able to get it all done in one day. The amount of care and attention was unbelievable. From the work itself and the follow-up to make sure everything was great before I went home made this a great experience. While root canals and crowns are not fun, this was the way to do it, Tom says. Thank you for recommending Dr. Zuniga in Costa Rica. I certainly will be referring friends and family. Friends, you can learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and Dento Care, my dentist, by the way, by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. Go to prattontexas.com. You'll see the banner with Dr. Zuniga's beautiful picture. Click on it, and you can read all about it. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
Winter's Dozer Service knows you may need terraces built, ponds dug out, or water runoff routes worked to save that water and soil. And Winter's Dozer Service stands ready to get the job done safely and productively. Jump on those projects now with Winter's Dozer Service. Conservation, construction, and cleanup. Winter's Dozer Service has the equipment ready, so contact them or dig up more info by visiting wintersdozerservice.com. That's wintersdozerservice.com.
You are in the right place at the right time for news and commentary of Texas from the right perspective. It's Robert Pratt with the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. By the way, our look at Texas history, as I did in the last segment, sponsored by USA Investigations, providing professional witness interviews and statements, criminal and civil investigations, including workers' comp, surveillance, and much more. Investigate for detail at usainvestigations.net, and we appreciate them sponsoring our look at Texas history every day on the program, or most every day. Again, today's the day in 1836, Sam Houston sworn in as the first president of the Republic of Texas. No doubt many of you are seeing headlines today and hearing headlines about the Supreme Court and Texas abortion law, the fetal heartbeat bill, and unfortunately, most of the headlines I've seen in leads are a little bit misleading, mostly just due to ignorance in the press and not caring about getting it right. But the court actually didn't block the abortion law. Once again, this is the second time they did not block it, but they did set a hearing for early November. What they actually will be deciding is not whether the law is constitutional or not. So get this straight, because a lot of the news articles don't seem to be carrying it correctly. They're going to be deciding the issue of standing, and that is whether the federal government has the right to sue over the law, because you'll remember the government doesn't enforce this law. It simply allows for civil actions in courts by individuals. And the longstanding practice is that you can't sue until there's been a harm. This has always been frustrating to Americans who want to sue over something to do with the Second Amendment or whatever, but until they've done something to you, you don't have standing. And so this hearing is about that. I want to take you to a little bit of his piece, Dan McLaughlin at National Review Online today. Supreme Court sets November 1st oral argument on Texas abortion case. Interestingly, that's All Saints Day. Goodness. And he writes quite a bit about this. He said, the court today ordered an aggressive briefing schedule and an emergency argument on November 1st. Three things going on here, writes McLaughlin. One, the justices would clearly prefer to hear the Dobbs case, that's the Mississippi case, that they've already chosen to take up, in an orderly and deliberative fashion and grapple with the momentous decision whether to overturn, entrench, or rewrite and limit Roe v. Wade in the spring. That precedent. But events keep forcing them to take up the Texas case first. I will still be surprised, he writes, if the court decides the Texas case in any way that shows its cards on the outcome of Dobbs. Because remember, they're not actually hearing the case as to whether it's legal. They've decided to hear whether the government even has standing or not. And they could say, okay, they do, but then that just lets the government sue. So don't be fooled by everything. Interestingly, Dan writes, the second thing of the three he thinks is going on in this is the asymmetry of how the court handles emergency stay requests is on display. Sotomayor argues that every day that SB 8 remains in effect is a day in which such tactics are rewarded, and every day the scheme succeeds increases the likelihood it'll be adapted to attack other federal constitutional rights. Yeah, of course, no concern for the right to life, but anyway. Dan writes, but it has often been the case, let's just say in gun rights cases, where have you heard that before? Right here. In gun Second Amendment cases, that laws violating constitutional rights get left in place until the court hears them. Abortion cases have regularly been given special treatment, which is why you hear so much howling when the court leaves a law in the books for just a few weeks. Bingo. And third, he says, justices may be sensitive to criticisms of emergency decisions made without full briefing and argument, the so-called shadow docket. He said it's entirely defensible for the court to turn away cases and requests for relief without hearing them in full. It does that every single week when it denies petitions for certiorari. It is a fairer argument that the court should not grant affirmative relief, meaning enjoining the law more than temporarily, without a fuller hearing, especially on questions of national significance. The fact that the court is adding this case to the argument docket plainly shows that the justices want to make a public show of giving Attorney General Merrick Garland his day in court. And again, they could do something rash. They could enjoin the law, not rule against it, but stop it until the cases are heard. But the real point of what they set the hearing for is just to determine whether the federal government even has standing to sue at this point over the law. So don't be fooled by everything you hear out there, and simply pray for the justices that they'll be led by the Spirit to do the right thing. And those of us who worship and pray regularly believe that the right thing is to protect the lives of children. And I'll tell you, even if you're secular, isn't the very basic point of our government to protect life is first, life, liberty, and property, life, liberty, and how you live your life, pursuit of happiness. Life comes first. The government's primary duty is to protect the lives of innocent citizens, not to provide a convenience for some at the expense of another's life. That's our argument on the pro-life side, period. Yesterday, as I mentioned, the Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton, and his counterpart in Missouri, the Missouri Attorney General, Eric Schmidt, had a big press conference late in the afternoon in El Paso. And what they announced was a lawsuit, and I said it would just be another lawsuit, but this is a particularly interesting lawsuit. It's costing taxpayers $3 million a day not to build the wall, the border wall, due to contractual obligations that the federal government already entered into. The argument from the attorneys general is that the Department of Homeland Security's termination of construction contracts is not only unlawful, but it goes against their own research that concluded that the border wall, actual physical barriers, not just border security technology, is extraordinarily effective in controlling illegal immigration, drug trafficking, and all the costs that go with it. The Biden administration's flat refusal to use funds that have already been set aside by Congress to build the border wall is not only illegal and unconstitutional, Paxton said, it's also wrong, and it leaves states like Texas and Missouri footing the bill. Missouri's AG Schmidt said, we're partnering again for this really important issue. One of the main reasons why we have this unprecedented surge in illegal immigration is the failure for Biden to build the wall that Trump and Congress appropriated money for. Think about that. Congress, it went through Congress. They did appropriate some significant money for the border wall and entered into contracts. And now Biden's just not doing the will of Congress, which we've seen before with Obama and others, because Congress had appropriated money many times for the wall and stuff just didn't get done. Schmidt said, without a border wall, illegal aliens, coyotes, and bad actors can simply march across our southwest border into the interior. The border wall needs to be built. The funds have been appropriated to continue to build the wall, and yet the Biden administration outright refuses so to do. In the Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2020, Congress allocated $1.375 billion to construct the wall along the border. Department of Homeland Security's Appropriations Act provides the same amount of funds, bringing the total to roughly $3 billion. They filed the lawsuit in the U.S. District Court, Southern District of Texas, Victoria Division. And I told you, for all of Abbott's bluster, these counties are still not able to do what he claimed he was going to do. There was a big piece at Breitbart, Texas, by Randy Clark. Border County Government Coalition has been formed, demanding more help from Austin. And they've gotten together. They formed 391, because that was the Section 391 of the local government code, 391 Border Coalition. Then they've met. You got people in Kinney County. You got EMS saying, we can't even care for our own people because it's a tiny rural county, because we're having to care with this massive number of illegal aliens. And they talk about all the money, the jailing, the morgue costs for how many of these folks are found dead over and over. And they're doing all, and Kinney's County's attorney, Britt Smith, said they're doing all Governor Abbott asked. We've prosecuted 800 criminal cases in 1 month when our average is 10 during normal times. We're doing it. they don't have the staff, they don't have the money. And we keep hearing from the governor, oh, we got all these billions. Where is it? These people that are the ones that are cooperating are the ones that are griping. Yeah, you don't hear anything from El Paso County and people that aren't going to cooperate. But the ones that are cooperating with this big border initiative from the governor are essentially telling us every single week that it's all talk so far. They're not getting the help they need. Oh, by the way, the Texas Public Policy Foundation has added a retired U.S. Border Patrol Chief Rodney Scott as a distinguished fellow there. Cool. Back in a moment.
We're talking Texas. More after this.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, health, dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Customers have said they are the best dock builders in the business. They identify with particular needs and goals and get the job done well. It's Elite Custom Boat Docks, owners of the coolest, most functional boat docks, are talking about. Elite Custom Boat Docks builds the best docks custom for your boat and water toys. And Elite Custom Boat Docks installs boat lifts and can remove your old dock. Own the best, the coolest, the neatest dock on the lake or pond with EliteCustomBoatDocks.com. That's EliteCustomBoatDocks.com.
He reads the entire state press each day, so you don't have to. It's your Texas anchorman, Robert Pratt, with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. If you missed the update on the Supreme Court's actions today on the Texas fetal heartbeat bill or any of that, go to the podcast after the show's over. It'll be up after 6 and listen to that, because you're not going to really get the full story in most press coverage, and for a lot of reasons. But anyway, I want to get to our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by our friends at Allied Compliance Services. You trucking firms, you know you've got to be in that clearinghouse, and all your drivers have to be registered. And, of course, drivers know you have to do your annual testing and keep all this stuff on file. This is what they do, and they help you when you get stopped, when there's an accident. They'll help you wherever you are in the country, and they're fabulous people. You'll get to know them personally. It's very affordable. Small businesses, drug and alcohol testing programs can be done legally for a minuscule amount of money. AlliedCompliance.com is how you find out about them. Sherry Sylvester has been a longtime friend of this show. She is now at the Texas Public Policy Foundation. She is one of the sharpest behind-the-scenes conservatives in this state politically. And she has a piece out now that she's at TPPF. Texas media leads nation in one-siderism news coverage. And a lot of this, she's just putting it together where it's more easy to understand. It's things I've talked about for years. There are probably not 12 people in this state that review the entire state press like I do every day. Oh, there's a bunch of people that read, you know, the 5 big newspapers or something. I'm looking at every corner of the state, and I see trends, and I see commonalities, well, just trends and patterns all the time that they don't see. Here's how Sherry writes it up. A Los Angeles Times reporter wrote earlier this month that the media should stop even trying to cover both sides of political issues, since the conservative side's just wrong. She tells her fellow journalists to stop reporting what she calls both-siderism. You'd think a journalism could not have to resort to this kind of butchering of the language, journalist, but no, that seems to be the way things are today. Both-siderism. The idea of only reporting one side of a political debate is not new on the left. Al Gore said the same thing years ago when he urged the media to stop reporting on anyone who did not agree with his climate change theories, and they complied. In fact, they went further. They tried to demonize and destroy scientists who simply asked tough questions. Sherry writes, here in Texas, covering the conservative perspective of the news, both-siderism ended in the media years ago. in what appears to be an effort to counter news of Texas' persistent success based on conservative policies, the Texas media dishes out daily news stories that portray the Lone Star State as a miserable, backward place held captive by extremist leaders. And that's true. That makes up the vast majority of the daily stories that have anything to do with politics. She says the distortion is mind-boggling, starting with the Texas media coverage of what's going on at the border. There have been almost no Texas news reports of the problems of South Texans whose safety is threatened and whose hospitals. By the way, you hear them here, but that's not the mainstream media. That's Breitbart and others dedicated to covering this. She said they don't cover this. The people of South Texas whose safety is threatened and whose hospitals and schools and homes are overrun with illegal aliens who have crossed the border illegally. She said migrants, and that's why that seemed redundant. Instead, although the border is the number one concern of Texans, the one-sider press portrays leaders and legislators who are working to secure the border as extremists or even racists. Virtually every poll shows that after illegal immigration, Texans are concerned about their property taxes. But there are almost no news reports of Texans telling their stories of how high property taxes affect their lives and their businesses. Instead, the Texas press has pushed out hundreds of stories on why local governments need more property tax revenue. One-sider media portray legislators who advocate for property tax reform as anti-local government, not pro-taxpayer. Folks, a good example of this today, this afternoon in the Houston Chronicle. These stories come out constantly. It's about the DACA, and it's nothing but a propaganda piece, and we see it in all the press regularly. They take somebody and show how their life is all being complicated because they're here illegally, but they're not legal, and they're a dreamer. And think about that. We see these stories constantly. What, you never see that about taxpayers, do you? You don't see that kind of push. No, this is what she's documenting here, what she's talking about. Sherry writes, there's been no Texas coverage of what critical race theory actually is and why parents are concerned about it. During the regular legislative session, lawmakers advocating for parents read aloud from actual books in Texas schools that encourage children to look at each other in terms of color, not character. The books were not reported in the stories. Right. Throughout the debate, lawmakers repeatedly noted that topics including slavery, the Underground Railroad, the impact of Jim Crow laws, the Civil Rights Movement, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and many other issues dealing with race in Texas are already part of the Texas essential knowledge and skills, and thus must be included in the public school curriculum. But the one-sider press continues to report that opponents of critical race theory want to whitewash our history, stop teaching about slavery, and cover up our past. You know, they often say that it's to prevent teachers from discussing issues of race. Of course, that's a lie, because as Sherry points out, those things are in the essential knowledge and skills. They have to be taught. Half the country and a majority of Texans oppose abortion, but the one-sider press uses Orwellian terms like choice. Yeah, did the baby have a choice? And abortion rights. And portrays those who fight against American abortion laws, which permit some of the latest term abortions in the world, as extremists. They use the same trick with what they call transgender rights, ignoring the fact that this is a women's rights issue in most of the Western world, and many feminists see it as an attack on our hard-earned rights as women. The election reforms finally passed in Texas' special session had the support of a majority of Texans in both parties, as well as most African Americans and Hispanics. The Texas media treated those reforms as some kind of racist plot. The majority of Texans know one-sider news when they see it, and they've given the Texas media a giant thumbs down. Yeah, I drove by the Lubbock Avalanche Journal's giant building, but there are not even any cars around it anymore. They literally can fit, I think, the entire news gathering and operation inside the space that used to just be the clerks, either the ad sales reps or the classified people. A recent Dallas Morning News, University of Texas Tyler poll found that fewer than 20% of Texas Republicans watch, you listening, advertisers? Fewer than 20% of Texas Republicans watch local TV news. And only, and remember, 20%, Republicans are the majority in the state. And only 5% say they read a local newspaper. The reality of our lives in Texas disputes those lies, meaning that, you know, the news, well, anyway, I'm just reading her writing here. We've given the media a thumbs down as consumers, and that's why so much of it's having trouble. The local newscast, I'll just tell you from an insider perspective, You've got small people. They think because they watch it, everybody else does. They don't look at these numbers either. That's why our numbers have been so huge for all these years. Because at least I try to give the stuff that you don't hear on the other side. Sherry writes, more than 1,000 people move to Texas every day, and we all know why. The economy here is one of the first to recover after the pandemic. We continue to be the job-creating engine of the country. I think that's going on 25 years now. We have the 9th largest economy in the world, and our oil and gas industry almost single-handedly made the U.S. energy independent before Biden shut them down. The national press can stop covering both sides of the political debate. Most have already. But what we have found out about one-sider media in Texas is that reality and truth will still triumph. In other words, people still know the difference. The problem, and Sherry would probably agree, the problem with this is that you get enough people who don't know anything that when the Democrats can do their nefarious things like getting mail-in ballots in the hands of people that pay no attention to anything and all these other tricks they've tried to do and get them to turn out and vote, the left can still win. Despite the millions of people who have relocated to Texas over the last 20 years because our policies work better. And a lot of people also just don't see that direct connection between the policy and the result. And that's our job. We have to tell our neighbors those things every day. Good piece by Sherry Sylvester. Back in a moment.
More from the True Texan Studio after this.
Laugh if you must, but friends know that I had a hard time finding words to express how positive my experience was going to the dentist. Not just any dentist, but Dr. Sylvia Suniga of Dental Care. Money matters too, and it cost us less than half of my lowest quote at home to visit Dr. Suniga at Dental Care in Costa Rica. That included a top hotel for a week, fancy dinners, airfare for both Isabel and me, and a private driver, and much more dental work than those local quotes covered. In fact, I had it all done. No wonder my Lubbock neighbor had been using her for his dental work for years. The work was the best I've ever had, the attention to detail more than you'll get here. If you have expensive dental challenges or just need crowns or cosmetic work or implants, learn more about Dr. Sylvia Suniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. See Sylvia's beautiful face and click the banner at my website, prattontexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
Jake's Sports Cafe and Backroom. Jake's has been a Lubbock staple for live music and sports for over a decade, with the Backroom hosting everything from Republican meetings to the hardest of metal and rollingest of rock. Crop down at Jake's with drink and eat specials from breakfast to late night. See the menu at jakesbackroom.com. Jake's Sports Cafe and Backroom, Lubbock's location for food, sports, beer, and live music at 50th and Slide.
He thinks prairie dogs should be kept around for economic development. Hunting is big business. Now more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Let's jump into the Woo Flu stack on this Friday edition of the program. I got a listener from Eddie, and an email. Says, I'm a listener of your show for many years. I've been listening to the podcast, too, about the interview we did on the Gray Television and KCBD and Lubbock firing all these people because they wouldn't take the vaccine. He said, I went to give blood at the blood center in Lubbock. They had a mask mandate if you wanted to give blood. My reaction was to go ahead and give, but after thinking about it, I decided to tell them I'd be more than happy to give, but I'm not wearing a mask. He visited with them and then left the center without giving. I've been a faithful donor since I was 18 years old. Now I'm 68. I've given gallons through the years. There's a critical shortage, but they have a nationwide requirement for a mask. They're ignoring all state and local laws, one rule fits all mentality, while ones that would like to give cannot, you know, believe in personal freedoms. He said that TV station's an employer. The mask stuff's going much deeper on all our freedoms. Yeah, I'm vaccinated, he said, but it doesn't seem to matter. Scary thing about all this is that it's just the tip of the iceberg. They'll start mandating other shots. That's right. That's what I've told you. And Eddie's got it right. This is not about COVID. This is about eventually requiring you to be treated and take drugs and do other things just like those dystopian science fiction novels. It's exactly what we're going through. And sadly, we talked yesterday. You know, I asked, where is Texas leadership? Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, is not sticking his finger in the air constantly looking for what the polls say. He also doesn't seem to be concerned like Texas top officials at how much donations come in from the business lobby. who just want to ignore all this because they just cared about the next quarter's financial report, not about the health of the country and our liberty overall. Where's the Texas leadership on these employer vaccine mandates? DeSantis calling a special session to not only ban them in the state forcefully, but to also repeal any of these special liability protections that have been given to people. If you mandate them, then you're not going to have liability protection, and that's only correct. You know, Democrats and people should be extreme. Normally, they would have been jumping up and down about these blanket liability issues because, you know, those are big companies. They just want to kill you. Now you're not going to have any redress. Do you hear them griping about it now? We've given more immunity from liability than ever, I guess, before in history on anything to do with this kind of thing, a medical thing, federal and state. Well, where's the Texas leadership? Florida, more leadership from Florida while Texas big talkers dither. Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody warns vaccine mandates will not be tolerated. Piece by Hannah Blow at Breitbart. She warned yesterday that mandates will not be tolerated in the Sunshine State, vowing to fight alongside the governor against the Fed's coercive edicts and unprecedented power grab. DeSantis was flanked by the Attorney General, their Surgeon General, and Clearwater and other officials. And Moody, the AG, spoke after the governor announcing the state's taking legal action in Orange County specifically to stand up for the first responders affected by mandates. Did y'all see that? So Texas leaders dither and talk a lot while Florida's taking action. I know who's getting my support in the next Republican primary for president if things stay as they are, which they never do in politics, but anyway. Biden, cops, first responders should be fired for not getting the vaccine and mocks freedom as a defense. This happened at CNN town hall. He was asked if people didn't get the emergency workers and police officers who didn't get the vaccination should stay home or be fired. And he answered yes and yes. And the crowd there had a thunderous round of applause for that. In other words, the people, we had another piece pointing this out recently, the people who were celebrated as heroes while everybody was at home all scared, they were still out dealing with people and having to deal with people up front and close and getting COVID and all that. They were heroes. Now they should all be fired. What happened to them being heroes? An OSHA cover-up feeds vaccine conspiracy theories. Again, Dan McLaughlin at National Review today. Anti-vaccine propaganda and conspiracy theories are not something the government can successfully control, but the government can absolutely make them worse by acting as if that it has a bias toward covering up the side effects or adverse reactions of vaccines. OSHA is doing precisely that by announcing on its website that it has suspended reporting requirements that normally would cause employers to report adverse reactions to the vaccine from the FAQ section on the OSHA website. Are adverse reactions to the COVID-19 vaccine recordable on the OSHA record-keeping log? DOL and OSHA, as well as other federal agencies, are working diligently to encourage vaccinations. OSHA does not wish to have any appearance of discouraging workers from receiving COVID-19 vaccination and also does not wish to disincentivize employers' vaccination efforts. As a result, OSHA will not enforce 29 CFR 1904's recording requirements to require any employer to record worker side effects from COVID-19 vaccinations. No kidding. That's real. That's the point here. You say, well, these are just crazy conspiracy theories, and then the government does stuff like this? Dan says it'd be one thing if OSHA decided as a general ongoing matter that paperwork requirements deterred employers from offering or requiring vaccinations and that the government should therefore not overload business with such requirements. That's an entirely reasonable pro-business, pro-vaccine approach. But that's not what OSHA's done here or why it's done it. The rule's not being changed at all. They're not changing the rule. They're just declining to enforce their own rule for one specific vaccine only, the COVID vaccine. He says this alone is typical of how the administrative state exercises power. Never relinquish power on any general principle, but retain the discretion to be selective in order to play favorites and keep the citizenry dependent upon official favor. Also, and that, by the way, that means we're not a republic. We don't have a free country. This is a real problem. We've discussed at length in the past. Capriciousness of laws. Also, he writes, the official explanation says that OSHA's first concern is, quote, the appearance of discouraging workers, end quote. It says right there in black and white that the federal government's afraid that people won't get the vaccine if the usual rules for reporting side effects and other adverse reactions are followed. And our great friend Bob Zimmerman had a great piece at BehindTheBlack.com. There's no way to get it all into you now. Just go to BehindTheBlack.com this weekend and scroll down, because it was from yesterday, posted it yesterday, the COVID lies of governments and scientists. And this is other scientists and real stuff. I mean, this isn't just commentators calling things a lie. And he begins by saying, two stories this morning illustrate once again the utter dishonesty and untrustworthiness of the governments and scientists who have been promoting strict lockdowns and mask and vaccine mandates as a response to Wu flu. He talks about the NIH, National Institutes of Health, yesterday admitted in a letter to Congress that it indeed did, and that Fauci's a liar. Really good piece today at the Spectator world about Fauci and how he's part of that class like Hillary in Washington where they can lie and do whatever they want to. They don't ever get prosecuted. The rest of us do. But anyway, how they did indeed, despite blunt denials about it, they did indeed fund this gain-of-function research at China's Wuhan lab. And the second story is just as egregious. It appears the mask study the Australian government's touted to impose mask mandates is filled with so many basic errors and faulty research procedures, it should have never been published in the first place. And it's other scientists, including some that aren't anti-mask, pointing out what a crazy bunch of stuff it is. In fact, a researcher, an eminent Australian clinician and scientist who spoke on condition of anonymity, was equally scathing. Quote, "I agree, it's crap," end quote. Talking about that study they've used to justify this stuff. And you've got more. He goes into the detail in this. Go check it out at BehindTheBlack.com over the weekend. You'll enjoy the site anyway. I think SpaceX was down doing, I hadn't looked today, but I think SpaceX was doing some static fire engine tests on the Starship, those Raptor engines down in South Texas yesterday, or something was scheduled yesterday. I saw it on YouTube, but didn't have time to watch. Anyway, you'll enjoy that, BehindTheBlack.com. My friends, join the Listener Club. If you're not a member already, at ProudOnTexas.com. I don't give you info out to anybody. You'll be in a drawing for a book if you join in October. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God continue to bless us all. Adios, mis amigos. Bulletin from Allied Compliance Services. The Federal Motor Carrier Administration has established a CDL driver's drug and alcohol clearinghouse, and your CDL drivers must register their individual accounts. Owner-operators, set Allied Compliance Services as your third-party administrator. Employers may manage their own clearinghouse account, and Allied Compliance Services can assist you with management. Set Allied Compliance Services as your TPA and notify Allied. Learn more at AlliedCompliance.com. AlliedCompliance.com.